During the Navi Yeshayah, we're up to what they call the 40th chapter, the first Pasuk. This is the great prophecy of Nechamah. We are entering the last section of Yeshayahu, where most of what we're going to read is actually read as Haftarot. It's read in the final prophet reading on Shabbat, the seven Shabbatot after Tisha B'Av. After we have three prophecies of destruction leading up to the week of Tisha B'Av, the week when the temple was destroyed, we have seven prophecies of comfort. And so the first one is the famous Shabbos after Tisha B'Av is called Shabbat Nachamu, because on that Shabbat we read this prophecy, Nachamu, Nachamu, Ami, comfort my nation, comfort my nation. So the rest of the book is going to be prophecies of comfort. And so this is introductory to the remaining part of the book of Yeshayah. The Ribbono Shel Olam says to the prophets, prophesize comforting prophecies to my people. Chazal say that Hashem was upset at Chizkiyahu's response to the decree. Yeshayahu had said to Chizkiyahu, your children will be castrated and forced to serve in the temple of the Babylonian king. And all your wealth, everything you just showed the Babylonian emissaries, you showed them the tablets, you showed them the Holy of Holies, you showed them everything. Well, all of that will be whisked off into Babylon. And Chizkiyahu's response was, well, at least there's a good part to the prophecy, that there's still peace, there's still time to do tshuva. You prophesized about a good aspect of this decree, that it's only going to happen in my descendants' time. That gives us time. And the Ribbono Shel Olam says, that's not what you should have said. You should have right away prayed for mercy. You should have right away asked that I abolish the decree. So you have not worked on behalf of the people. You haven't davened for rachamim. So Hashem turns to the prophets and says, you comfort my people. The king is not doing his job, so you, the prophets, nachamu, nachamu ami. Yomar Elohim. So says Hashem, your God. Hashem says to the prophets, I want you to comfort my people. Daberu al lev Yerushalayim vekiru eleha. Speak to the heart of Jerusalem. Say things that are comforting to the heart. Call out to Jerusalem because ki malea tzivah, ki nirtzah avonah. In the future, Jerusalem will be packed with people. Ki malea, it is full. Tzivah, like the word tzava, it's going to be filled with people, or tzava also means a set time. It's filled its time. It was decreed that Jerusalem would be destroyed for a set number of years. Ki mala'a, she served out her sentence, right. Ki nirtza avona, because her transgression has been paid for. Hashem is appeased. Her transgressions have been atoned for. Ki lakecha miyad Adonai, kiflayim bechol chatoteha, because she's paid double the price over her transgressions. And that's why Hashem says, give her double the comfort. Nachamu, nachamu, ami. Our sages say this is a reference to the double exile, where the Jews left Jerusalem twice. Once in the Babylonian exile, and then in the exile that we were just in now.
So it's not such a comforting pasuk. I mean, it's comforting for the people, but it's not comforting in the end. But it also has an element of a tragedy or whatever that it's referring to.
The purpose of the pasuk, though, is to tell Jerusalem that she will still be rebuilt. Yes. But in life, the component that makes challenges most difficult is that you're not told the end. If Sarah Imenu would know for 100 years, for her 90 years, that she would have a baby at the end of 90 years, then it's easier to live with the 90 years. If a person that's dating knows that at age 35 they'll be married, so then even if it means they have to date for 15 years, it's doable, because they're told in the end you will be married. The great fear is, I don't know if I'm ever getting out of this. When people can't have children, the great fear is that they don't know if they'll ever have children. But if a person had a prophet tell them, you will, you'll have plenty of children, you'll have grandchildren, don't worry. So then a person can work on the challenge. It makes the challenge much, much, much more easy. So when Hashem tells Jerusalem, you will be rebuilt, you will have double the comfort, so then that makes all the challenges easier, because you know you're headed towards a good end. Yes?
The Rabbi talked before about how the loss of the northern tribes of Israel was like one of the greatest disasters of the history of ever, like worse than the Holocaust or whatever. So how much comfort does it really provide to them to hear that Jerusalem, for example, will be rebuilt when that's Yehuda?
I think that we are all called Bnei Tzion, the sons of Zion. Bnei Tzion haikarim sulaim bafaz. And so I think that Jerusalem, although at one point it was the capital of Judea, but in essence, Jerusalem is the heart of Israel and the heart of the Jewish people. So the prophecy of the rebuilding of Jerusalem is a comforting prophecy for everyone. It means Israel will return. Kol kore, Hashem's voice calls out, Bamidbar panu derech Adonai. Even in the desert, Hashem says, make a path, because my people are coming back. And those who have seen pictures, Israel was like a desert. When we came back, it was literally a desert, swamplands. And Hashem says, clear the way through the desert. It's my path. My Jews are coming back. Yashiru ba'arava. Take the arid land and make a straight path. Mesila le'Eloheinu. And that path is going to lead the Jews back to Israel, back to Jerusalem, back to Hashem our God. Kol ge'yinase. When places will be low, so they'll flatten them out, they'll raise them. V'chol har v'givah yishpalu. And when areas will be too high, so they'll flatten them as well. V'haya ha'akov l'misho v'har chasim l'vikah. And the paths that hitherto had to be convoluted, going in many different directions, up and down and left and right, so they'll all be flattened down, they'll make straight paths leading up to Jerusalem. V'nigla kevod Adonai. And when the Jews return to Israel and Jerusalem is rebuilt, so then Hashem's honor is revealed. V'ra'u chol basar yachdav ki pi Adonai diber. Then all of humanity will recognize that all of these comforts are Hashem's prophecy. Because for generations, everyone's been saying, why do you Jews think you're coming back to Israel? Why do you think you have a future? And then when Hashem brings us back, so then the whole world has to recognize, yes, that was Hashem's prophecy all along. The prophetic voice says to the prophets, call out, declare. And the Navi asks the voice, God, what do you want me to declare? What should I say? Kol habasar chatzir v'chol chasdo kitzitz hasadeh. And Hashem tells him, I want you to declare that all flesh, kol habasar chatzir, all flesh will be like fertilizer. Will be like chaff that's strewn out on the field. And that's when all the nations will ascend upon Jerusalem to fight against it, and they will all dry out. They they will be like dried grass. V'chol chasdo, and even if a person did kindness and he thought it wasn't a big deal, it will be kitzitza sadeh, like a flourishing flower in the field. The nations are told that they will think to come and ascend upon Jerusalem and destroy it, and all the nations will unite in this endeavor. That's what's called the Great War of Gog. There will be a great war where the nations will unite against Israel. And here we see this idea that we will first return to Israel, and then the nations will unite and fight us in Israel. And that's the great war of Gog and Magog. And then Hashem says, they will be scattered. They will be wiped out around the gates of Jerusalem. And that's a step before the Mashiach, the idea of the war of Gog. And at that time, kol habasar, all those people will be chatzir, like dried grass around the city. V'chol chasdo, and all their kindness will be ketzitza sadeh, like a flower in the field. Now, a flower in the field that dries out very quickly, because in a field you don't have shade. When you have you go to a wheat field, a barley field, what do you see? You see the sun beating down. That's why those fields are called Sde Lavan, white fields. Why are they called white? Because there's no shade. It's all white. You don't have trees growing there. You have grains growing there. So when a flower dries growing there, so it dries out very quickly. And so Hashem says, compared to the evil, to the harm that they did to my people, even their kindness is like a flower in the field that dries out quickly. And ultimately it's lying there together with the rest of the dry grass. So if Hashem describes the nations as being dry grass around Yerushalayim, He says, and even if one of them says, but I've done something good, I've done kindness, Hashem says, yeah, you're like the flower in the field, and so it's beautiful for a short time, but ultimately it dries out together with the rest of the grass. Yes?
Does this refer only to the kindness of the nations in the actual time of the Mechamet Gog Magog, or could this also apply to people who saved Jews in the Holocaust or something like that, meaning risking their own lives during that time for the sake of kindness?
It doesn't seem that it's referring to people who were really pious and kind, like people who saved Jews during the Holocaust. That does not seem to be the case.
So that's
not
people who are trying to use whatever merits they think they might have, which correct. Aren't so weighty necessarily.
Yeah.
That okay, you know,
people who did
right. But it's not so.
The reason that was it before Auschwitz, nations will cease to exist, but not individuals.
Very nice.
The Germans won't exist as Germans, let's say, but the individuals who are righteous.
Yeah.
Nations that did like things like with an ulterior motive, like we want to help you, but really the acquired agenda is that ultimately something else will happen that is negative result of Hashem.
Right. Yavesh chatzio. Navel tzitz. The grass dries. The flower dries. Ki ruach Adonai nashe vabo, Hashem blows His wind on them and they all dry. Achen chatzir ha'an, and so the nation that ascends on Jerusalem will be like that dry grass. Yavesh chatzir navel tzitz, and as the grass dries and the flower dries, Udvar Eloheinu yakum le'olam. Hashem's word is a constant in the world, and it will continuously last. So even as they dry, Hashem's promise that the Jewish people who constantly seemed like they were on the verge of drying out, they're not going to dry out. Hashem's prophecy that ultimately they're coming back, that prophecy is coming true. Al har gavoa alilach mevaseret Zion. Go up on a high mountain, you mevaseret Zion, you the prophets who have repeatedly given good tidings to Zion. Harimi bakoach kolech, say your voice loudly. Very often when we have to say something that seems incredulous, so then we say it, but we say it quietly. Hashem tells the prophets, don't be embarrassed. How many times did Jews stand there and sing, V'techezena. May our eyes see the rebuilding of Zion. So today we say it, and we say it loudly and proudly. But how did Jews say it 150 years ago, 250 years ago? You know the Reform movement took that out of their Seder. But how did Jews say that? The Navi says, say it, don't be embarrassed. Raise your voice, Mevaseret Zion, you who has the tidings to Zion that it will be rebuilt. Harimi al tirai, raise your voice and don't be scared. Imri le'are Yehuda, hine Eloheichem. Say to the cities of Judah, here, Hashem is appearing, and Hashem is rebuilding you and reestablishing you and returning your children, the Jewish people, into Jerusalem. Today we read these psukim, and it's so easy. But remember that this was said over 2 millennia ago, almost 3 millennia ago. 2.5 millennia ago, Yeshayo tells us about what's yet to come. And even though the historians for many years doubted how old Isaiah is, but thank God they also encountered the Dead Sea Scrolls, and now they also concede that Yeshayo is an ancient work. We didn't doubt it, but today even the scholars are agreeing that, yeah, this has been around 2.5 millennium. The prophecies of how Israel are coming back to Jerusalem.